there's just a different experience when you sing. And they say even an amplified experience when you sing together. There's a lot that gets said when I can sing in your presence. There's a lot that's said without having to be said, if you know what I mean. When I meet the human beings that are involved with the systems, and if my work has an impact in their day, in their mood, in their outlook, and they teach me as well to understand and be more informed, be more compassionate around how these systems work, I think something good has been done there.
Welcome to Express Change, a podcast about art and activism.
Right now, we're treating people and the planet like they're here to serve the economy, when really it should be the other way around. What will it take for us to reimagine and remake our economies to deliver social justice on a healthy planet? We're part of a global movement that's trying to do just that.
There's a popular saying, it's easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. Our cultural mainstream hardly ever imagines what a different system could look like. We want to find out how new and innovative art can help us change our view on politics, economics, the world, and our fate.
To get to these answers, we'll talk to artists and creatives from a wide range of fields, backgrounds, and parts of the world. I am Marina Gattas, Culture and Public Policy Lead at the Wellbeing Economy Alliance, based in São Paulo, Brazil.
And I am Martin Oetting, an artist and writer based in Berlin, Germany. Thank you so much for listening.
This is episode 3 of Express Change.
Mapumba Chilombo is a singer-songwriter, storyteller, music producer, and a voice for well-being based in Cape Town, South Africa. He was born in Kolwezi in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the year 2000, he released his first album and sold thousands of copies out of his car trunk. And since then, his catalog has risen to many singles and albums. He's also toured cities across the US, Puerto Rico, and Canada. And his project, Music for Wellbeing, aims to help people heal and evolve for themselves, for their families, communities, and our world. Welcome, Mapumba. We're so, so excited to have you here today with us. It's such a joy to speak to you.
Such a pleasure, Marina. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
To start us off, maybe you can tell us sort of in your own words a little bit about what you do and how that relates maybe to the well-being economy.
I'm a musician. I'm a singer, songwriter, and my work as an artist has taken me through many different hats and ways of working. I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And recently, instead of just being a musician who would be doing various gigs and various jobs that are related to the arts, I started to really explore how the voice of a musician or an artist can contribute to informing people about well-being, participating, actively participating in the economy or in the place of well-being. Especially after the lockdowns, 2020, it was very clear that we played a better role than just entertaining people. So music and the lyrics we wrote, the songs we performed, they actually contributed to how people felt. It wasn't just to make people dance and have a good time on the night, but actually it did help with people's well-being. So I started to explore that, and that's been about 3 years now that I'm still in the process of understanding what that even means for myself and even discovering the well-being economic community. I'm learning and I'm trying to adapt that to my work, my songs, my performances, and whatever else that I get involved in.
Martin, you should have come to the last We All Talk when Mapumba did an amazing session, and it was so healing and so incredible. Yeah, still moved by that feeling.
I'm bummed I missed it.
I was quite nervous for that one, actually. I was, because performing online is very different. In person, you get the synergy, you understand where to go with the music or the song choices, but online, there's a different tuning that happens. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to figure that part out. So I'm always very nervous before the show. So I'm glad it didn't work. It didn't show too much.
No, not at all. And I'm curious, Mpumba, if you could tell us a little bit about how you became a singer and songwriter. How did music enter your life? How was that encounter with the arts?
It started really with my mother, our mother, the mother of 9 children. She used to sing all the time. Our father was passed, both of them. My father was a school principal, so education was the main thing. And so that contrast, I think, encouraged me to listen to my mother more. And no one really was encouraged to become a musician. I was the black sheep in the family, if you want to look at it that way. Congo is a very celebratory country, so things happen around music. Music is around culture, right? You sing at funerals, you sing at birthdays, you sing at weddings. When a child finishes high school, everybody sings. And when you get home and mommy is happy, you hear her singing. And when you hear her sad, you hear her singing. So it's a very melodic culture, if that's the right word to say it. Of course, carrying that with me, war happened. I was sent to Zambia when I was 13 to join my brother who had immigrated there earlier. I was now finishing my high school in Zambia. But to learn English, because I was only speaking French and Kiswahili, Chiluba and Lingala when I was in Congo. To learn English in Zambia, music was a very instrumental thing for me to quickly catch up on the language and join school, because within 6 months, I ended up joining a class, a Zambian class, learning in English without any prior English learning. I was listening to mostly Tracy Chapman, Bob Marley. Yeah, a couple of other R&B artists like Usher had some music around then, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, you know. So there was a lot of like listening and learning the lyrics and getting to pronounce and learning like that. And that, I think, also helped a lot to just, you know, reinforce the love for the music and the love to sing. And so every time I wanted to express something, it came to me in the form of a song or a form of a melody. And so when I finished high school, about 3-4 years later, I got a temporary job, random temporary job, because I was playing guitar at that time. A school was looking for a temporary French speaker who could sit in for the French teacher. So I was hired. I think I was 18 then. When I got to the school, they had a piano and they had these books. Within a week, I became the music teacher now, French and music teacher at the school. So I started to teach myself how to read music so I can teach the kids, you know, simple notations and music translations and things like that. So that really got me like fully in love with it. So within a year, I decided, okay, before I get to settle, because my family was like, you are not going to be a musician. There's no money in it. So everybody was angry at me for even thinking about it. But after a year and a half, I had my electrical diploma and like a skills certificate. I said, okay, let me go try out. So against the family's wishes, I took a journey down from Congo. You come to the south, you end up in Namibia with a bus. And then from there, somebody says Cape Town is where it's at. So I ended up in Cape Town and I haven't returned from South Africa to live anywhere else since.
You spoke about how important music is in every part of life where you come from. I live in a culture and I come from a culture where we've kind of forgotten about singing. Part of it has to do with our history. So, you know, the history of Germany with the Nazi era, they took a lot of the songs and of the singing and made it very political in a specific way. And that kind of destroyed it for people. In my society, when you become a professional musician, that's so crazy. That's really far away from people's lives. And I was wondering, you already mentioned it, that your family was, wait, that's a risky profession to have. But still, I wonder if that's different in a society where music is such a part of everyday life. It is here too. People listen to the radio, but that's it. They don't sing to express themselves. They don't play. It's a rare thing when they do. So I wonder if you could say a few words about what it means to be a musician in a musician society rather than a musician in a society that is very passive with music.
I mean, I'll just compare from my experience, right? When there's music, people heal quicker. People process for themselves better. And I can say this from the last year of doing like group work in the well-being space. Instead of just having a concert, I'm now helping creating an environment using music and story to just activate something for the company or school or community group. there's just a different experience when you sing. And they say even an amplified experience when you sing together. There's a lot that gets said when I can sing in your presence. There's a lot that can, that's said without having to be said, if you know what I mean. So It is a great way to communicate without having to directly communicate. Like when we say, I'm speaking to you and now I'm speaking to Marina. And then there's a certain need to, who are you speaking to? Is it for me? Should I leave it? But when I pull out a song and then you join a song, we're singing. In a community like that, the singing does help a lot. Just get people to heal quicker.
I'm curious about how personally you take care of your well-being as someone who is doing that for others. How does that feel like to you? Do you use your own, potion towards yourself? Is that how the magic goes?
Very good question. Thank you. The last 3 years, I've spent a lot of time alone. Just because I ended a relationship and I'm very close to my son and I didn't see him a lot. And even though I was working and trying to catch up with the industry, like trying to earn income and, you know, so the work became more of a job than the pleasure of performing. So that was the hard part. That's actually what really made it clear for me that I need this to be also for well-being. So I have taken different measures for myself in the last 2.5 years. To really fall in love again with music and find the true passion of what it is in my life and not just as a job.
Uh-huh.
So falling in love with it has been the first step to really make it be a process of well-being and remembering why I love it. But also, Martin, just to say, like, for example, like that experience of singing was in the Congo, right? With my family, and there was war. So I was separated from them. So there was a bit of pain there. And then, of course, we haven't been together like that since ever. And it's almost, what, maybe 30 years? So I haven't really had that experience, even though that's the experience that feeds me even up to now. In fact, I've done an album with my mother and her voice. It's called Ndaya's. It's available on Spotify and other online stores. So using that material, using those references now in my life is what I'm using to now help me also realign with my relationship with the music. And also be really clear on how I actually help other people with the music that I do. So before, in the South African space, you would perform for corporates, you perform for birthdays and weddings, and that would be a very specific way of serving. So you're just a service within what's needed, right? And so an artist would not really find the right way of understanding their voice in the space of being a musician and a person who offers that as a job. I took it on myself to really do more on like studying and understanding how is it that I actually contribute to the space and what's the sound that I really use, what languages people prefer to get to hear from me. That also in doing that has really been helping me to maintain my well-being. So to answer your question specifically, for my personal well-being is just falling in love with music more and really doing as much as I can to see how it's not work and how it is just life, but I'm just a person helping people with the thing that I do every day. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I was just thinking too how difficult and recurring it is, this topic of having to make a job out of something that you love so much that it becomes a drain. It was just beautiful how you said, like, for step number one was falling in love again with the art itself and healing that process within yourself and that connection within yourself. It's quite beautiful and inspiring.
Much of what you spoke about seems directed towards sort of interpersonal relationships and on the scale of where we live in our everyday lives. The well-being economy idea and movement and umbrella, of course, is about the system. We need healing every day. I mean, we all know what the world is like, and that's an incredibly important aspect of well-being. But of course, the idea is to move beyond that and to look at the systems level. Where does your music connect with that level of well-being and the well-being economy?
For me, that part of it is the story and the reminding for the systems builders, because my commitment is to human beings. I'm actually quite bad with systems. I haven't learned to trust systems. So when I connect to the human beings, like we are connecting now, I have a rapport with you, we can talk. That is what keeps me involved. That is what I'm in it for. When I meet the human beings that are involved with the systems, and if my work has an impact in their day, in their mood, in their outlook, and they teach me as well to understand and be more informed, be more compassionate around how these systems work, I think something good has been done there.
Yeah. I find it very hard to put in words this constant like back and forth between the outer and the inner and the big picture and the small picture. And when you're talking about people coming together and really connecting, I think I've kind of incorporated as a bit of a philosophy in this whole change process, the phrase that change happens at the speed of trust. I'm not, you know, a person who can really put that into a beautiful synthetic statement, but there's something really powerful, I guess, about those things working simultaneously. It's beautiful to see how like music in and of itself being this communal practice where you can just tag along and be together can also have a very powerful effect in, I guess, breaking through that solitude of being a change maker.
Exactly. I just wanted to share a quick story around 2 weeks ago, sort of like a semi-corporate but community building company. They had a program and I was including the program to give them an hour of just like a bit of activation, a bit of elevation, a couple of songs that I performed that really get people, you know, either just allowing themselves to cry if they should, or just full bliss and joy in the moment, you know, type of thing. So we got there. First of all, their sound wasn't working. It was distorting, and I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to that. So I'm a bit stressed out. I'm sweating. It's not really looking pretty. So people are already like, why are we here? What's going on? We start the performance. I do the first two or three songs. Kind of, it's working, but it's not really working. Everyone is just like sitting there like that. And the director's just like, okay, this better work. And the workforce on the other side is just like, yeah, what have you done here? Like, why is this guy here? So there's a lot of like block in the system, basically. There's no everybody are not together. We get to like a fifth song. I was like, okay, this might not happen. So I bring out a very light song. The other songs I was performing were very like emotive, trying to like engage emotional presence. So I brought in like a very light song. It's like what it means, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, right? And the groove starts grooving, people are tapping their foot side finally, and they're making jokes and they start to speak within the song. And I just sing it and I sing it and sing. Eventually, it's just like, okay, it hits home. Finally, you pretty much just see like individuals' energy just like log in the middle. People literally forget. They forget they were mad a minute ago. And even though they're not talking to other people, they're at least opening their energies to anybody who's allowing themselves to be in the energy. And even though I didn't plan to do any, I was just planning to perform maybe a story and make it very like hoo-ha, you know, we had a moment. That was basically the brief. We ended up having a drum circle. I haven't had a drum circle in like 10 years. So because there were drums lying around, I'm like, who wants to play a drum? Hey, me. Okay, cool. Somebody brings them. Another person brought a pot or somebody brought a table. Okay, let's go. Boom. Before I knew it, I was not performing. I was doing a drum circle. That taught me a lot about just like how to also be flexible on my part, to remember to come to serve for what is needed in this space versus I had a set list and I had a brief. I just felt I'll share that story because it's also just a reminder of how the part that's about flowing is actually what it's about. My experience of any system means formula. And yet for me, when it comes to music, formula is only a frame. But if you only stick with the formula, then you're actually going to miss the whole point of why, what is going to emerge in when you engage with each other.
We spoke with a photographer from New York who told us with a very specific example how the art she's making as a photographer is a co-creative process. She says, the photo you're making, you can come in as the artist that goes, I will dominate this room. I will design the photo. I will decide how this person will look in that photograph. Or you can come into the room and say, we will figure this out together. And I feel like you just gave us a perfect illustration of how that looks in your art, where you say, I can go into the room and be this, the performer that sends his music into the audience, one directional, or I can be open to whatever happens and emerges. And I feel almost like that's an illustration of the difference between economic systems even. The old system is rigid and controlled and hierarchical, and it has rules and sends the message down the hierarchy because companies are hierarchical. They're dictatorships, essentially. But the new economy we're building is collaborative. Walk into the room, open your arms and say, what's there? Bring what you have and we'll figure this out together. So I find it remarkable how very similar your story is from the story that Shirley Rodriguez told us about taking photographs of Latinas in New York City 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a very good connection there. As a movement and the many people that we are with several different views on how this thing should come together, keeping that openness for emergence is, I think, the biggest challenge. We'll go in with that rigid set of instructions to tackle systems change and think about like what this world should look like. That's likely to just generate more of the same, right? NGOs and third sector, and they're all like, that's such a pervasive mindset in the ways that we operate because we're just kind of grew up like that, thinking that that's the way to go. I know that your main tagline is head to heart with music. Why is it so important for change makers to move and be led by the heart? How would you describe like that process?
In our performances as entertainment for corporates, we'd always want to do that because that's where we got made most of our income. So when I wear that hat, it's a full entertainment, right? The idea is to get people dancing, so we're doing that. The band is set up, we're getting the music like a full nice rise. Drums are going, bass is going, let's get boogie. Always you find, at that time anyway, you'd always used to find that the executives are sitting somewhere in the corner, like not even getting involved. And then the, you know, like the finance or the smart bunch in the company will be the ones sort of like moving their heads, you know, but, you know, still very much like the execs are watching. I'm not going to overdo it. And then you get like the other force, labor force, boogieing, like getting drunk, whatever. And it always felt very like separated. The energy always felt so separated in these spaces. After the lockdowns and after COVID and lockdowns, it just felt like every other corporate company that we went to perform to, people were just so hungry to just be present with something that was true and real, that all of that dropped off. And I was just like, I was touched. I actually, one of the events, I was in tears. I had to say to the company, I said, this is actually in 15 years time that I've been to a group in a company that is so big and diverse, but yet everybody is just with each other. No one's looking at who they're supposed to be. They're just being present as human beings. So when my friend Tana, who has followed my music for many years, she's actually the one who encouraged me a lot to really look deeply into well-being as a movement, well-being as a voice for myself as an artist, and just like trying to see what is it that I really contribute to this space. Head to heart felt like that's actually what I really wanted to do. The reason of that story is I would notice people will always be in their heads so much, and their work needs them to be in their heads. There's nothing wrong with that. But when they come to an event and you are part of the, you are brought in as an entertainer, you're brought in as someone to help them experience something else, head to heart felt like the right direction for them. And every time you'd find that sometimes this is a thing that they would just let go with one dance. It's a thing they'll just let go with looking at people differently away from the office. And when you're on stage, you really see that if you really pay attention. So the process of head to heart is, yeah, it's exactly that. It's just the idea of saying we think a lot, we are planning, we are stressed, we are constantly being called to strategize and analyze. Even myself, I'm constantly like mind mapping this, that. But that can take like 3, 4, 5 hours, but it takes 2, 3 songs to reset because the heart just knows what to do.
If you think of the last year of 2023, the one that's just behind us, let's imagine it was a song, a painting, a book, maybe a film, if 2023 was a work of art, what title or what name would you give it?
Ooh. Muziki. Yeah, the name of the artwork would be called Muziki, because my love for her went deeper in that year, and I would give her my all, I realized. So, Muziki.
Is that music in a language I don't speak, or does it mean something else?
It's in Swahili.
Yes. Muziki is basically just a translation of music.
What would you tell an artist if they told you that they wanted to be part of the solution, but they didn't know how?
Just get involved. Just start by getting involved. If you hear of a conference somewhere, sit and listen. Invite somebody from the community who is involved in the change to come and hear your music, and then ask them how that contributes to their well-being. Then you know who you'll be talking to.
That's pretty cool. And it makes perfect sense.
Let me say also why I really stay from the politics, because it used to be very clear, even just about 20 years ago for me, when I left Congo, it was during Mobutu, the former president. It was very clear. Mobutu was having a tribal war to stay in power. It was very clear. We all knew. But it still happened because, you know, it's very easy to manipulate the public. Nowadays, it just becomes so convoluted that until you actually, you just have to see the human in everyone. Otherwise, it's just there's 100 people to blame for one problem. So for that reason, for me, I don't even try to engage too much in that, because then it just takes you into depression naturally. So what? So if I choose to not get involved with the elites, then I should stop performing at corporates. I should not get involved with the Davos, where I have come to perform about maybe 5-10 years ago. So when we say if we want to get involved personally and individually and be the influence of that voice that you are saying you're carrying fully in the heart, then you just got to see the humans. And as soon as you start to see that, you realize there's a piece of all of those, even in myself, all of those people, from the politicians, the elites, so until I also clear up my fog of what do I really want? What can I really give? How am I exchanging? How am I contributing in the economic space, in the political space, in the social space? How am I really contributing? If I can really be truly clear about that, I can only interact with the humans and activate the change that I'm doing every day that I'm working on. But to sit and kind of go, this guy, you can just, I think I'll just go depressed. So I just stay away for that reason.
I think being aware of the fundamentals of how things are wrong is the baseline. We need that. I can't be ignorant of that. But once that's established, I don't need the daily grind. I need the work and the direction and the insight and the wisdom. Yeah.
And that said, there are people in our world that need to handle the big things. I send out a lot of compassion to those as well, because just being a human being in that space and being pro-change, those, they are doing jobs that a majority of us can't.
What gives you optimism or hope?
Human beings. As I fall in love deeper with music, I have even more faith in the humanity of people. Yeah, human beings, really. It's quite amazing. Like, you know, when we had the lockdown, I keep referring to that because that's actually the time when I really healed for myself a lot. When we had the lockdown, but just to just see how quickly things healed, just see how quickly the natural system turned around was a very good marker for me that you can be in depression for years, which I was, but with just the right alignment, with just the right movement from head to heart, within a couple of weeks, you can change that around. And thinking about that in that way and using music, which is the thing I love, continues to give me hope. So I'm very hopeful and optimistic that as human beings, we'll find the sync point. And when that happens, it'll be something just done and it's going to happen. What that is, I don't know. But it'll be something that will all fail.
Thank you for listening. Express Change is supported by the Wellbeing Economy Alliance, the leading collaboration of organizations, alliances, movements, and individuals working to transform the economic system. Find out more at weall.org.
Express Change is produced and edited by Martin Oetting in collaboration with Marina Gattas and the team at the Wellbeing Economy Alliance. You can find out more about my work at martinoetting.com. That's Martin, OETTING.com.